Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet.
So, as the Spice Girls once sang, "So glad we made it. Time will never change it. No, 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 no. You know, it's time to say goodbye." Those are the words of our hero and legend of the business, Victoria Beckham, and also the words of me, David Campbell, on my last outing on Saturday Draft Live. Yeah, we'll get into that more in a wee bit, but Scott, it's the end of an era, episode 20, end of an era today.
I know, man. It's more emotional of an end of an era than Triple H, Undertaker at WrestleMania 28, it really is. But
as long as you're not going to dial up the band, say "sorry, I love you" and kick me in the chin on the way out, then I'll be all right, mate. I'll be all right. Just don't be planning any HBK shit here.
I mean, I would, but social distancing prevents me from doing that. So
yeah, you need a 6 foot long leg to comply with regulations. We're going to get into the normal stuff today, guys. Of course, we are buzzing because WrestleMania weekend. We are right in the middle of it. The first night is tonight, and then we have another night tomorrow night. We're going to be previewing who we think will get most points going coming out of those nights, rather. Who is going to win the season? Where we think that's going to go. But we do need to cover first the week that was, starting with our top scorers. And Scott, it's a nice way for me to go out, because number three this week is one of Team Go. It's God's greatest creation, Mandy Rose, finally pulling in the goods. And Scott, this comes from, I'm actually happy she gets points, because the Mandy Otis angle has been one of the most entertaining things about SmackDown for the last couple of months.
Yeah, it's weird to think that Otis versus Dolph is one of the matches of WrestleMania that has maybe the longest build on it.
Yeah.
If you don't count the 6 years that it took for the build in the last Wyatt Cena thing, but it's a weird week, like I said last week, but when Stacey picks at number one, like when Mandy Rose is in the top three, you know it's a weird weekend. Like, we've got some sort of resolution heading into WrestleMania. I mean, I did think Dolph would win before this. I seen this on SmackDown. But I still think Dolph could win, but Otis and Maddie can still get together. You know, like, people don't remember that Macho Man lost the Ultimate Warrior at WrestleMania 7. They remember he got together with Elizabeth at the end.
Definitely, and it's about that moment. And speaking of Mandy, of course, six points this week. Very well done to her. But from a more storyline perspective, the thing I'm most upset about the crowd not being there is if we do get that moment with Otis and Mandy, we've seen at the Rumble how hot the crowds are for this. It would have been something really special. Going forward to next season, of course, last night in SmackDown, tensions revealed between Mandy and Sonya. I pick Mandy for this season. She's not always been someone who's guaranteed to get in a squad. Do you think, in terms of women's picks, though, she's going to rise further up on the agenda than she possibly has in many people's minds in seasons gone past?
I'm not sure. I think, appearance point-wise, if she and Otis become an actual thing on screen, then they'll appear a lot together, so that could be good appearance points-wise. Although you need to be careful with that, because actually, Sonya Deville, because I thought she'd be, as she was revealed on SmackDown, be a big part of this angle.
Yeah.
And there would be weeks where she wasn't on, so she was very little use to me. But I do agree with you on the point that this needed a crowd there, because, for the big reveal, you want a crowd to be the big reveal, but, just seeing the big, shocking reveal, the truth is revealed, and then just silence in the arena as we see the footage.
It'll be interesting to see how it works out. And it'll be interesting to see who is revealed as the man behind these videotapes. Is it Goldust? Is it a return for the Golden One? One can only see. Again, number two this week, talked about this man to our blue in the face. Somewhere between good and evil lies Alistair Black, also on 6 points. Scott, we've said it before, say it again. Good pick for Stephen Wilson. Guaranteed WrestleMania win. Could there be a title push post-WrestleMania, which might bolster him once again even further up the draft pecking order?
I think so, you know. I mean, a lot of us like to see Black in a title in a picture. I think he would have been in a title match, maybe some sort of multi-man thing for the US belt. Had circumstances not been what they are, with like Andrade having to pull out the show very last minute, and also like having kind of a limited like amount of people they can use, so a lot of people are missing out on a potential WrestleMania opportunity. So hopefully when everything kind of resets and we're back to normality, hopefully one of the things that comes out of it in terms of WWE is a proper push for Alistair Black, not just waiting for his next person to knock on the door.
The thing is, with Alistair Black in the titles, I know I'm in the minority who really, really enjoyed his NXT title run. There was a lot of people who said it was sort of bland and unexciting, just from a character standpoint more than anything else, and he always felt like an afterthought to Gargano and Ciampa. But I always put Black in my mind as champion in the same vein as AJ Styles as WWE champion. Like, it still raises someone's stock to be champion that long. And there are people, when you look at Alistair Black, he just screams legitimacy when he competes. And that in turn bolsters the legitimacy of whatever title he's carrying. So if I was booking it personally, I'd be putting a title on Black as soon as Mania is done. Like, you name dropped Andrade there. Andrade versus Black would be utter dream matches. But in terms of championships, Scott, when you're drafting, is it a combination of you're trying to preempt where the title's going to go by the end of the season, or is it safer to draft whoever the IC or US champion is at the time of the draft? Like, what? How? Where do you stand in that dilemma?
I think it depends on which championship is, because, you know, there are certain mid-card belts like the IC belt that can either be formally featured on TV or go through a period where the champion doesn't even get booked on the show. I think for most people, the smarter decision is to try and figure out who's going to get a particular title by the end of the season, because you get a lot of points for like a championship win, especially if it's on pay-per-view. So if you're like fifth place, it can really like shoot you up maybe into the top three. So I think, because also you lose quite a bit of points if you pick the champion and just before the end of the season they lose that title. So I think it's less of a risk to try and figure out where the title's going to go by the end of the season.
And just one last point now, Alistair Black, we touched on it last week, one of the best seasons of all time, that is confirmed. This is one of the single greatest seasons for a single competitor in the history of the draft. So Alistair Black, pick number 9 this season, but next season expect that. I'll be watching with bated breath to see how much higher it goes in the draft next year. Again, another man, round 2 pick, basking in his glory. 19 points this week for the North American champion that is Keith Lee on NXT. Scott, you're a man, you've had history with Keith Lee in the draft. He was one of your competitors last season. Just like Aleister Black, do you feel that Keith Lee's stock is screaming round 1 pick next season, especially because there's no one on the horizon who we can see as a legitimate challenger to take that North American title from Keith Lee?
I think so, because I think he got chosen by Kwaku in season 1 back when NXT was still 2 hours, so he didn't appear a lot. Mm-hmm. I don't think he was picked at all in season 2, but season 3, I had a feeling big things were coming for him, so I picked Keith Lee. He did me a lot of good, and it's clear that obviously he's still going to increase, because at the start of season 4, he won the North American title. It was a smart pick on Daniel's part, and I think the more Keith Lee is featured, the more people realise just how talented he really is, and how valuable a commodity he becomes. I think it's that thing where if at the moment it doesn't look like he's going to lose the title anytime soon, it might be worth picking him. Although we need to be aware, like I said, of maybe even just right before the end of the season, somebody comes along and takes that belt from him unexpectedly. I hope that you've got a stronger team that you won't be impacted too harshly by Keith Lee losing the title.
And also with Lee, in terms of losing the title, it's sort of it's a safer bet with Lee, because he's not like a Black or Andrade who, if they're taking out the title feud, you don't know where they're going to be going. We know that NXT values Keith Lee to such an extent that even if he was to drop the North American title, it's probably going to lead to a run at the NXT title or the tag team titles or a prominent storyline, you know what I mean? So you know at this point that Keith Lee is not going to get lost in the shuffle again, and in fact this week he's leapfrogged Rhea Ripley and Bayley to become the third highest scorer for the season overall. So excellent. I was critical of Daniel Campbell's picks in the past. I still stand by that Daniel Bryan, in fact, to be honest, I'm going to eat crow. Daniel Bryan and Keith Lee were excellent round one and two picks. I don't know how meditated the Bryan pick was, but fair play to Daniel. Worked out for him for the most part in the end, and good luck to you next season, my man, with the E-League experience continuing to make surprising picks like that. Who knows what can happen? We're going to get into the table, though. It looks like Gary's going to finish last. He's on 71 points right now. Here's a question for you, Scott. Here's a bit of trivia. So I'm going to give you a wee question, all right. Only one draft pick has scored 0 points this season. Who is it?
I think who's on Gary's team. I want to say Lana.
Oh, very close. It's the same household. Rusev. Ah. Rusev on Gary's team has scored 0 points this season. Neil Poit for Rusev, hard lines for Gary and Team Viz. We then go up, it's Stacey Smith in ninth place. It's then Team Goat in eighth. Joint sixth is Jack and Allen. David Hockney is in fifth. The E-League Experience, Daniel Campbell in fourth. Team It's My Podcast in third. And then we go to Ross, your brother, with the only picks that matter. He is second, and after that, 32 points ahead is Scott McLeod in first place, which brings us to our WrestleMania preview, Scott. All right, and I asked the question to you. We've been asking it for weeks. Is the season done? And that is, I'm just going to ask you this: going into a 2-night WrestleMania, title matches galore coming up. Is the season done?
I think so, because I'm not that sure the exact points you get for certain like title wins, but a title win on WrestleMania is a valuable point enough. But with Shayna, who I'm still guaranteeing is going to defeat Becky Lynch, being the captain on top of that, I think gets me just, because well, I'm already 30 odd points ahead, so that takes me on maybe 40 points odd ahead. And even with like Black getting a win, it's still non-title, it's not a big kind of match. Roman versus Captain's been taken out. Becky Lynch is one of his, but she's probably going to lose to Shayna. Street Profits, maybe I could take him up, but still the gap would be too wide, I think. So I think we could see Daniel Campbell maybe move from fourth to third over, even because if he's got Daniel Bryan, and if Daniel Bryan wins the IC belt, point total, I think, could take him over Steven Wilson.
The question I have for you is, worst case scenario, Shayna loses to Becky. All right? Shayna's your captain, so that doubles the amount of negative points that brings you there. You know what I'm saying? Is that the only possible case where we could see a shock over WrestleMania weekend, do you think?
I think so, because as much as I love them and him as well as they've done so far, I have no faith in Miz and Morrison to win. Because even with the news that Miz had to leave, so I actually think, a wee prediction here, I think we see Morrison come out and basically decide, yeah, I'm just going to retain the tag titles on my own. So we just see Morrison go up against Usos and New Day by himself.
That'd be interesting. I just find it funny that 2 years in a row, Miz, apparently a safe worker, has been put in a Falls Count Anywhere match with Shane McMahon, followed by a triangle tag team ladder match the following year. Like, when did Miz become a hardcore icon? Is what I want to know. Scott, just a prediction for you. Obviously, we're getting into the new season after this. Two questions. Who's the highest scorer at Mania, over Mania weekend, do you think? Who's it going to be? And two, who's the number one draft pick next season?
I think it's either going to be, I think it's between one of three for the potential like highest draft pick, all because I believe these are all like the team's captains.
Mm-hmm.
You've got my captain, Shane and Shayna. You've got Rhea and you've got Drew. I think it could be one of those three because you said you saw the potential of Shayna losing, but then you never know, they might like decide they needs a boost and put the belt on Charlotte, or they might decide Drew's moment needs a crowd and keep the belt on Brock.
Mm-hmm.
So we could be, those three all seem like guarantee wins, but any one of them could be like a swerve, and if two of them are like go the opposite way, the person whose result does go the way they think it is could really shoot them up the leaderboard.
Yeah.
One of those three, and I think any one of those three, if they are victorious at WrestleMania, their stock automatically goes up, and I think all of them become big first round picks next season.
I'll make a prediction because obviously I have no strategy to worry about giving away this season for obvious reasons. If I'm in the draft next year and I'm number one pick, if Charlotte Flair wins the NXT title, I'm taking the Queen. Because if she does win the NXT title and goes to NXT TV basically now on a full-time basis, I would imagine that. So that's the prediction that comes in with these picks. I would think that you would want to make sure that you get on board that Charlotte train, because I don't see Charlotte going to NXT to be a transitional champion. If she was to beat Rhea Ripley, I could see a rubber match with Ripley and Ripley moving on to a Raw or SmackDown. If Charlotte loses, at that point, I'm probably going to be banking my money on, it depends who wins the title matches, obviously, again, but I'd probably bank my money on Keith Lee, just because of the things we've discussed. He's always going to be at the top of the leaderboard, third highest scorer this season to a North American title. Even if he loses that, he's going to be in prominent matches. So those are my two pieces of advice. If you're going to take pieces of advice from the GOAT, Charlotte Flair and Keith Lee, those should be your number one draft picks next season. Scott, am I crazy for saying that? Am I mental?
No, I don't think you're crazy, because with titles or not, I think those two are prime, around prime spots on their respective rosters. So I do think it's a smart thing. I would add Velveteen Dream in there as well.
Oh, the Dream. Yeah.
Nobody like picked him because he was out injured and nobody wanted to take a bet on when he would be back. But if it's looking like, oh, and I think the post-Mania episode NXT where they're doing like some more of the matches that were meant to be on TakeOver, mm-hmm. on an episode of NXT, if he defeats Adam Cole for the title, I can see a decent run, possibly even going past SummerSlam for him with that belt. So I think he'd be a prime pick as well.
So you hear that, you've heard it from us, guys. If the competitors are listening in, take this into account, because Scott's winning this season. I've won the draft before as well. We both have some semblance of an idea about what we're talking about here, but that brings us to I'm not going to say it's the end, because it's not the end. And it brings me to what I wanted to say today about me leaving Saturday Draft Live and leaving ESSR. Like, this is it. I'm done as far as I'm concerned. It's completely a decision I didn't want to make. It just comes from my scheduling and the things that I'm doing right now. It's actually pretty hard to leave a podcast that I truly, truly love so much. And I love everyone in it. And Scott, to you specifically, of Saturday Draft Live, and it's everything that we've done, all the moments we've had on the podcast, it's been an absolute pleasure to do it. And the show will go on. Saturday Draft Live will go on with Scott and whoever Scott decides to fill this chair. ESSR will also go on with new voices already in there. New voices will come in and they will usurp anything, any small contribution that I've managed to do to the podcast. When all is said and done, I will probably not be known as the greatest of all time. I might not even be in a Mount Rushmore discussion, but you bastards can bet your bottom dollar that I will always remember when the GOAT was me, all right? And don't you ever forget that at one point it was. To Stephen Wilson, thank you, my friend, for every opportunity that you've given me on your airways. To every one of the panelists that I've shared the screen with, to Ross, a worthy adversary, a worthy partner throughout all of this. Gary, Derek, Stacey, the Goatsman, a great time. It's been an absolute blast, and it's hard to say goodbye, but it's the right time to do so. And I have every faith that the show will go on and be absolutely magic, helmed by the brilliant Scott McLeod on Saturday Draft Live here every single week.
You know, David, me and you, we have been like the Gargano and Ciampa of the friends. You betrayed me, became friends again, I betrayed you, and then we go out as friends again. And my only regret about this show is that we didn't have the idea sooner to do this, and we could have done this in like season two or even like season one, because so the thing could have gone on a little bit longer. You know, well, we don't know who I'm going to be doing the show with. It could be a period of adjustment while we try and fill the massive misshapen goat shoes with but honestly, this will still remain the greatest show on the SSR Extra, or in the entirety of the SSR.
And the entire planet, and I have no doubt about that, my friend. To everyone who's listened to Saturday Draft Live throughout my run, and will continue to do so going into the new era of Saturday Draft Live, thank you very much. Good luck to every competitor for WrestleMania weekend. Good luck in the draft. We know how mental that's going to get next season. And from myself, David, it is farewell. And from Scott McLeod,
goodbye, my friend.